just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 7, Episode 13. Thank you to Hooters, and specifically originalhooters.com, where you can find the closest location to you in the Tampa Bay area, double digits to choose from, easy online ordering as well, originalhooters.com. Thanks also to Bill Curry Ford, continuing to write $1,000 checks to the winners of Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Leagues. We'll talk more about the actual podcast league in a future episode of this podcast. But as we get to number 13, let me remind everybody, the email right now, until further notice, is right.todd@yahoo.com, same as the Todd Wright Toddcast. If you want to email me with any comment or question from the previous 12 episodes of the Fantasy Podcast, something specific as it relates to this Fantasy Podcast, looking ahead to building your leagues, dealing with a deadbeat owner, the right number of teams to have in a league, Todd Wright kicker scoring settings, which I adjusted many years ago and I think work extremely well for how we watch football. Let me enjoy a little water here. By the way, officially I've heard water is not a beverage. That's what I heard in the last week. So it's not a beverage, it's water. There's something in the word beverage, I guess, that is specific to some process under which water does not participate. I don't know. So there's something for you that has nothing to do with fantasy football. But that is more meaningful than something I'm going to talk about today. And I just want to point it out. To me, it is the most, it's not even overrated. It is the most irrelevant word in fantasy football. Now, you can insert your own joke here about Jets. The most irrelevant word in fantasy football. It gets some of you excited. Some of you study it. Some of you are attracted to it. Some of you make key decisions because of it. And time again, I will be here to tell you not to do that. The word is target. And we can pluralize it. Targets. It is the most meaningless word in the fantasy football community. Until someone sends me their scoring settings that clearly indicate that you receive, and this will be an entirely other podcast because this is exponentially more ridiculous than PPR. If we went to PPT, a point or a fraction of a point for a target. I'm waiting. Anyone in a league that can screenshot or send me a link to your scoring settings where you are rewarded for a target until that day comes and creates an entirely new podcast within the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, of course. I maintain the word targets should be eliminated from the fantasy football vernacular. It is not a scoring play. It's not a scoring play. Why are you so attracted to targets when it doesn't translate to scoring? You're saying, well, it does translate to scoring. No, it's not a scoring play. By definition, a target is an attempt from a quarterback to complete a pass to someone on his own team. And you're saying, well, yeah, and if he completes it, hold on. If he completes it, it's called a reception. It's not a target. You can say, well, yeah, he targeted him. Yes, but now we're in a new category. We're at the reception point. If there is no reception, there is either an incompletion, which last time I checked is also not a scoring play, or there is an interception, which is a scoring play that in essence in this case works against you in terms of the way we're talking about this. So play along with me. Did you ever see that movie Yesterday? This actually is a point of contention between me and somebody very special in my life. It is more than any other movie or television show she has suggested that we have watched together. It is the one that disappointed me the most. The story behind it, the foundation of making the movie, is a good concept. It's why I wanted to watch it. The execution and what they did with it, to me, fell way short. So you have this aspiring musician, and we're in modern day. And, yeah, he's a starving artist type guy. He might make it one day, he might not. But we're not at that point yet. And he's riding his bike, and there's a blackout. And in conjunction with the blackout, he crashes off his bike, loses a few teeth, comes to, he recovers physically, and then sort of stumbles into mentioning the Beatles. And the people at his table have no clue what he's talking about. And he thinks the joke's on him. Well, then he starts doing more homework, including Google searches, and the only beetle is the insect. So in essence, what the Beatles did in music and in pop culture, somehow as a result of the blackout, was eliminated from the face of the earth. Later we learn, I think Coca-Cola was too. All right, so he ends up becoming famous for simply singing Beatles songs because no one's ever heard them. He gets credit for writing them, sometimes right on the spot. They actually cut out a scene with the delicious Ana de Armas, where she makes an appearance on the Late Show, the Late Late Show with James Corden, and they ask this guy to write a song on site about Ana de Armas, and he does. Why you would cut that beautiful creature from your movie is another reason why your movie didn't do it for me. So let's follow the lead of that movie where they eliminated the Beatles as a storyline. Let's eliminate targets from the fantasy football vernacular. If you were to see that a running back caught a significant number of balls on a particular team, that would be telling. If you were scouting out a wide receiver that you were considering drafting, but relative to other receivers that are going to be available around that part of the draft, you see he doesn't have as many receptions as those other receivers, that would be telling. What do you need targets for? I know what you're saying to me. Here's all the targets do. Targets expose the failure of a quarterback to connect with his intended receiver. That's all targets do. The connections are called receptions. And as much as I hate, we haven't done that podcast yet this year, PPR leagues, there are points for that. I don't think there should be. Instead, in my league, standard scoring, 21st century, the game is now via the air, not force-feeding Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, the ball 40 times a game, where Emmitt runs it more than Aikman throws it. Those days are gone. So should PPR. Another podcast. But the point is that he caught the ball, and even in a standard scoring league, now it's, what does he do with it? How many yards did he gain? Points. Did he get in the end zone? Points. Did he get a two-point conversion? Points. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't catch it. Well, it was a target. There are no points. As Drew Carey would say, everything is made up and the points don't matter. That's right. The points are like targets in fantasy football. They don't matter. If you see a lot of targets, but a significant drop-off to the number of receptions, you didn't find anything other than a fucking problem. Not that you can do this, but pull Allen Robinson aside and ask him how often he was targeted during his tenure with the Chicago Bears or the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, your counter-argument. Well, it shows they want to get him the ball. As Gustafson would say from the great Grumpy and Grumpier Old Men movies, you can wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which gets filled first. Why are you putting any validity in the, well, they want to, yeah. Yeah, I want Anna de Armas to knock on my door right now so when I finish this podcast, I can seduce her and spend the rest of my day with her. Not going to happen. Just like an exaggerated amount of targets over receptions doesn't foreshadow that the receptions will increase. Well, it shows a pattern. No, receptions show a pattern. Targets show a pattern of inaccuracy or a pattern of bad route running. Might not be the quarterback's fault. Might be one of those quarterbacks like, oh, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers. It's never his fucking fault. We'll get a lot of that this year. Stop paying attention to targets. They don't score you points. Receptions are potential scoring plays. There is no PPT. There is no half-point PPT. There is no third-point PPT. If I'm wrong, screenshot me. your scoring settings so I can do another podcast about how bad your league is. I'm stunned that some of the best fantasy people, when they're talking, will mention, well, he's been targeted. So how many receptions does he have? Does he lead his team in receptions? Isn't that what's important? Why are we talking about the misses? It's not like it's going to get better. Well, they're obviously working. No. That's speculative. Go with actual facts. Go with the connection between the pass catcher and the quarterback. Look, there's a lot of other ways you can figure out whether or not a player is going to get the ball and have his name or number called. You don't need targets. Ignore it. Make it go away. It is the most irrelevant, overrated term in fantasy football. I'll leave it there for today. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening to episode 13 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow.